We continue our learning. We're in Avos Perek Dalin Mishnah Chav Beis. Hu Haya Omer. This is another teaching of Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, where he makes an observation about Hashem's justice in the world. Hayilodim Lamus. Those who have been born eventually are going to die. No one lives forever. V'hameisim l'hachayos. And those who have passed away, eventually they will be resurrected. Now, this doesn't mean resurrected in the sense that they will be rewarded and joined in Yemos HaMashiach necessarily. Bartanur says this means asidim l'chios v'la'amor l'yom adin. It means they'll be resurrected in the sense that will stand trial on the day of judgment, and Hashem will determine their fate. Some will go to Olam Haba, and some will go to Gehinnom. Some will be punished in their future in the next world. So that's what it means. V'hameisim l'chayos v'hachayim, and those who have been resurrected, those who are living, lidon, are going to be judged. Now, this may refer to not necessarily a continuation of the previous statement, but hachayim, the people who haven't passed away yet, so they don't have to be resurrected to be judged. So hachayim, lidon, they're going to be judged. Either way, obviously the message here is that we have to recognize that we have to do tshuva before we pass away. Eventually, we're going to have to give a din v'cheshbon. So this is hopefully will give people... that will encourage people to live a life of Torah mitzvos. Then the Mishnah continues, Leida lehudia ulihivada shehu kale, to know and make known and to understand that Hashem is God. What is he teaching us here? So the Bartuner says, Leida me'achem, to know from others. Lehudia la'achem means to inform others. Ulahuhivada means lahavin me'atzmo. So we have to know what people have taught us. Certainly we've learned from other people about that Hashem is the God, is running the world. We have an obligation then to make known to others as well, to teach that and to understand what Hashem's power is over the entire world. So this is an obligation that we have, and hopefully this also will encourage us to live a life of Torah mitzvos. Hu hayotzer, that he is the yotzer. Hu haborei, what's the difference between being the yotzer, the molder, and the borei? We assume borei is creating something from nothing. Yotzer, so the Bar Tanur says, shel kol olam ku biyado kechomer biyad hayotzer. The whole world for him is like the clay in the hand of the potter, the one who is molding it. Uma tam, why is it that the whole world, that he's the yotzer and he can mold the world, shape the world however he would like? So that's because hu habore, that's because he is the creator of the world. And therefore the Bar Tanur continues, Uma tam, why is it that he's the yotzer? Lefisha hu habore, shebaras kolam kulu me'ayin, yesh me'ayin, he created the whole world from nothing. Lefikach, that's why he's able to do what he likes, what he pleases in the world. That's all up to him. Suppose, let's say you have a kli, you have a vessel that was made by a human being. So once you create it, so that kli is able to exist on its own. It doesn't need a creator at all. But when it comes to Hashem, when it comes to the creation of the world, it's not so. Hashem was the borei, and he continues to be involved in our lives. We say every day, Hashem renews the world. He has his hand in everything that is happening. Some explain that Yotzer, molder, versus Borei, creator, means the following. Yotzer means Hashem created man's physical features and physical body. And the Borei is the fact that he created Vayipach Papav Nishmas Chayim, the spiritual components of a person. And hu hamevin, and hu hadayan. So Bar Tanur connects these two. He says, achar shehivin kol ma'aseim, because Hashem is, we say this in Tilim, Hashem understands everything, knows what we're thinking, therefore, mevion midin lefanav. As opposed to human beings, so you don't necessarily know what people are thinking, and you haven't necessarily seen everything. You have to rely on testimony, let's say, from others. That's a regular judge, but Hashem sees everything, and he understands everything, and he knows what we're thinking as well. I mean, he knows that the thoughts are beyond that behind our actions, and therefore, since he's the Mevin, Hu HaMevin, Hu HaDayan, he can therefore serve as the judge, Hu Eid. So he's also can serve as the witness. So as opposed to, let's say, someone who comes to court of human beings, so maybe all he did something wrong, they were it wasn't witnessed by anybody, so no one can testify against him. No, Hashem is not only the Dayan, because he's the Mevin, he's also the aid. Hu Baldin, not only that, he's the litigant. Is as if when two people come to court, so it could be that for whatever reason, you're able, even if you're wrong, you're able to win the case because the verdict will be in your favor for whatever reason, though you may be wrong. That happens when you're fighting, when you have this quarrel with another litigant. But here it's not so. Hashem is the other litigant. He's not only the aid, he's not only the Dayan, he is the litigant. He's the one that is that comes to court against you. He is the opposing party. Bartanura says, what's a Baal Din? Shehu Toveya Sachotim. He's the one who makes the claim against those who sin. So you have, we are the Nitba, we are the one claimed against, and Hashem is the Toveh. He's the one making the demand, making the claim against us. Vuhu Asid Ladun, and he will eventually judge us. And what's Asid? Asid is a reference to maybe the judgment that awaits every person after he dies, or maybe the final judgment in Olam Haba. And so what do they mean, Asud Ladun? We already mentioned that Hashem is the judge, but that is Hashem's role now. That's who's going to die and other issues in this world. This we're talking about. Hashem is going to, the one who judges us within our lifetime, makes decisions about what's going to happen to us. He will also, takes into account everything that we've done, Din V'cheshbon. He will also be the judge after we die to determine whether we're going to earn Olam Haba or Gehinom. Then the Mishnah continues, Baruch Hu she'ein lefanav lo avlo v'lo shichecha v'lo maso fanim v'lo mikach shochad she'akol shalo. So Baruch Hashem, we're saying Hashem is blessed. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're happy about the fact that he doesn't take bribes and doesn't show favoritism, etc. But the Baruch Hashem here is the fact that Hashem is kind and just in the sense that he's erech apayim. He gives us an opportunity. Hashem is slow to anger, and he's kind in the fact that he delays the justice. He gives us an opportunity to repent. So all of things are reasons why we should say Baruch Hu. But at the end of the day, She'ein lefanav, but these are, and maybe we should say as well, that he's a fair judge. Sometimes you have judges who prefer justice, but Hashem does not. She'ein lefanav lo avla. There's no iniquity in front of him. Lo shicha, he doesn't forget anything. Lo maso fanim, there's no favoritism. Lo mikach shochad, he cannot be bribed. And the Bartanura says here, She'eino no seif fanim to show favoritism afilo letzadi gomer. Even if someone's a tzaddik gomer, Hashem, okay, he'll look the other way. He's a tzaddik gomer. Shelo yani shenu al avera kala shabos liyado. That you'll think he's not going to punish him because of a small avera. No, he will. Of course, if the tzaddik does tshuva, so that's another thing. But there is no favoritism here, so no one should feel that it's not fair. V'nelokeach shochad ha-mitzvah b'shul ha-avera. Oh, interesting. What does it mean Hashem doesn't take a bribe? Of course he doesn't take a bribe. We can't expect Hashem, a regular judge, a human being, should not be taking a bribe. Why would he should assume that Hashem does? So maybe we'd say, well, Hashem takes a bribe, he did an avera, so okay, I'll cancel it out with a mitzvah that I do. So sometimes we think that way. It doesn't work that way. Hashem doesn't take a bribe. I do a lot of mitzvahs, so I daven really nicely, and therefore Hashem will look the other way on the averus that I've done in the Lashon Hara that I've spoken. That's not the way justice works. Shehakol shelo. And the last line of this, everything is his. So everything is his comes to explain why Hashem is not going to take a bribe. Any gift you want to give him doesn't matter, because everything belongs to him. But that should be obvious to everybody. I don't need a mishnah telling me everything belongs to him. So of course he's not going to take a bribe. So that may be what the chiddush of the Bartanur is, that the bribe he doesn't take is the mitzvah to cancel out the aver. Then the mishnah continues, v'da shakol lefi hacheshbon, recognize that everything is based on the calculation, the accounting. Bartanur says, pruta o pruta mitztarefes lecheshbon gadol, each penny, each coin adds up, eventually adds up to a very big calculation, a very big accounting. We have to be mindful of the fact that the fiha cheshbon, we added, there's a lot of quantity here. We have to recognize that even if we think this aver is not a big deal, but if we continue to do it over time, over many, many years, so those averos kalos, those what we think are light averos, they add up. Sha'al ben is va'al yavti chacha yitzrecha, sha'ashol beis banosloch. And don't allow your yitzrecha, your evil inclination, the yitzrecha, to tell you that don't worry, the Sheol, the grave, is a base manos, is a place, a safe haven for you, is a place of refuge for you. Don't think that that is the case. That's not true. The grave is not a place where you're going to be saved. You know, we have this idea of ir miklat. If someone kills b'shogeg, they're able to run to an ir miklat. So, and we have immunity in that city. So that doesn't work. We don't look at Olam Haba as a refuge from that. On contrary, Olam Haba is a place where we potentially, in the next world, where we're going to be punished for what we're doing. Then the Mishnah says, "Sha'al karchacha atonotzar, you are formed or born, created against your will. Var karchacha atonolad, and against your will you are born. Var karchacha atachai, and you live against your will." What does it mean? So it says the Bar Tanura, "What do you mean? I live against my will. I want to live." It's no yesh adam midukab yisurim. If you have people who are crushed with suffering, rotzelamus, and they want to die, but he cannot against our will. We don't have the right to take our lives. We live against, maybe living against our will. And the same thing may be true when it comes to when we're born, says the Bar Tanur, b'shas haleida eina rotela tzeis, the baby doesn't want to leave at that time. Umalach motzia bal korcha, and the malach takes him out against his will. This is the way it is. Everything we're formed, what do you mean we're formed against our will? So Bar Tanur says, sha neshama eina rotela tzeis mena pargo. The neshama doesn't want to leave from behind the curtain. Makom tahor, this pure place, Shanashamos Munachosham, where all of the in good company with all of the pure souls. Likarez b'mei Shama Makom Tamei, to enter the innards of a woman, the womb of a woman, a place that's impure. Umalach bo motzio bal karacha, and you know what the malach does? He comes and takes the soul out from behind the curtain against its will. Umachnisa b'mei Isha, and its place is in the me'ayim of the woman, in the womb of the woman. And that's the way it is. So that's akal atonotzar. That's a reference to the neshama atonolad. The fact that you're born, the malach pulls you out of the womb. You have to come into this world. Akal atochai. And even if we're suffering, we have to live against our will. Akal atameis. And the same thing is true. Most people don't want to die, but nonetheless, we don't live forever. Also against our will, eventually we die. Akal atosidli tein din v'cheshbon v'nei melech malchei hamalachim hakadosh baruch. And also, what's going to happen against our will? We're going to have to give v'cheshbon. We have to go and give an accounting before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King of Kings, as we mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah. This is really what we learned already in the beginning of the Mishnah. This is a culmination of Rabbi Elazar Akapar's statement. And the point is, we should be motivated to live a life of Torah mitzvos, because if we don't, because the greatest, if we have this Yiras Chet or Yiras Onesh, what's awaiting for us in the future, we recognize that we're going to have to give an accounting, so that will hopefully trigger within us the motivation in order to serve Hashem properly in our lifetime. Before we get in the next parak, the next Mishnah, sort of Yisrael Meir Lau in his commentary on Perkei Avos brings a very interesting mashal of the Dubna Magid. And to answer the question, why should a person be required to give a judgment and a reckoning for a life that was not his choosing? This we keep saying, Al Karchach, against your will, against your will. So he says, Dubna Magid, of course, gives a mashal, and he says, in a town there lived two sisters, one, no one wanted to marry them. One was very ugly, the other one had a very sharp tongue, and many years passed until someone came and said, I'm going to solve the problem. The one who was ugly was married off to a blind man, and the one who had a very sharp tongue was married to a deaf man. A few years later, a doctor visited the town and he healed both of them. So now the blind one is able to see, the one who was deaf is able to hear, and after that their lives were ruined. They were miserable. This one realized how ugly his wife was. This one realized what a sharp tongue the other one has, able to hear it. And they were very upset. So they got the bill from the doctor, from the surgeon who healed them. And they said, I'm not going to pay. You made our lives worse. The quality of our life was actually better when I was blind and he was deaf. So the case came to court. And what did the judge rule? So he says, okay, it may be true that this doctor caused the men distress. So I'll tell you what, because of that, I tell him, fix what you did and bring them back to the way they were and take away the sight of the first person and the hearing of the second person. So what do they say? They say, no, I don't want that. So I want to see, I want to hear. So the judge says, oh, if that's the case, then you have to pay the doctor. You just realize that you're pleased with what he did for you. So the same is true of us. It's true Hashem put our souls into the world against its will, against their will. Took it from the Acharei HaPargod. And we came into this world against our will. That's possible. But who wants to leave? Even when a person is sick, generally speaking, they turn to doctors to try to save them and struggle to remain alive. So therefore, our desire to remain in this world shows that we're pleased with the gift of life. And if that's the case, we have to follow the conditions Hashem has set and recognize that there's going to be judgment eventually in the future. We begin the next parak, Parak Hey, Mishnah Aleph, where the Mishnah says, Ba'asara ma'amaros nivra ha'olam. The world was, we'll see a lot of tens in this parak, the world was created with 10 divine statements. What are they? So Bar Tanur says, Tisha vayomer ubracious nami mamarhu. So there are nine vayomers, which we'll see. That's also a question. Some say you really see the only eight, but may reference to speaking about the plants, which may have a separate vayomer, and maybe a reference to the creation of the isha, which may be included in one of the statements. But either way, there are certainly not 10. So the 10th, he says, ubracious nami mamarhu. Bracious also is a mamar, even though it doesn't say Vayomer there, Bereshis Bara Elokim Eshtam Yisaretz. Why? Because the pasuk in Tehillim in Perek Lamed Gimel says, "Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Naasu." For the Shamayim Vaaretz, which is the beginning of creation, Bereshis was Bidvar Hashem. So that's also a ma'amar. That's also considered a statement. Interesting point that the Torah Tumimra says. So why then wouldn't we have a Vayomer, beginning of the Torah? If you want to say Hashem created the heaven and the earth with his ma'amar, with his word, so it should have said at the beginning of the Torah. Okay, Vayomer, Hashem says there should be Shemayim Va'aretz. So he says, the Torah Tumimra says, because when you say he said Vayomer, that implies that there's a presence of a listener. But before the creation of heaven and earth, there was no one and nothing for Hashem to command. So after heaven and earth are created, Hashem could say to whatever the raw material that existed at that time, I want you to become light and water, etc. So if that's true, so then I can say Vayomer afterwards. But if there's no listener at all in the world, so then we don't use the word Vayomer. That's why we say Bereshis is the first Ma'amar. So says the Mishnah, Ma Tamal Omar. What exactly does it come to teach us that the world was created in 10 statements? Hashem could have created the world in one ma'amar. Some claim that maybe these are two separate questions. So the Mishnah then says, because we want to show you that the world is so important. Yeah, Hashem, it took 10 ma'amaros to create the world so that when Rishoyim are living in this lifetime and they're bringing ruin to the world through their sinful behavior, we should recognize that they're destroying a world that took 10 separate divine statements to be created. And therefore, the punishment is going to be that much more severe because it's 10 ma'amaros that you are ruining. And it says, well, to give reward to tzaddikim who are fulfilling the Torah and therefore helping sustain the world, which was created with 10 ma'amaros. Bar Tanura says, what does it mean the Rishon Ma'abed, they destroy the whole world? Shekola Ma'abed Nefesh Hachas Mi'Yisrael Kilu Ibed Olam Malei. We know this from the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Anyone who takes a life even from one Jew is as if he destroyed a whole world. V'Rishon Sha'abavunam, and the wicked through their sins, Ma'abdenes Nafsham, they are destroying their own Nefesh, their own lives, Kilu Ba'abdenes Olam. And therefore it's like they're destroying the world. If you destroy your own life, So if we say nefesh achas, one nefesh, one human being is a whole world. So that means if we ruin ourselves, we're ruining a whole world. We ruin ourselves through our sinful actions. So then that type of behavior will destroy an entire world. Kach matzasi, that's one possibility. The Linira says about you, and I think this is what it means. Shema abdinis olam mamish. No, it means they really destroy. It doesn't mean they're destroying themselves, and in that way they're destroying a whole world. It means they're really destroying the world. Shema achrim es kolom kulo the kaf chova. Because we know the world is sustained based on the behavior of people, and Hashem is always weighing the number of mitzvahs, the number of averus that people have. So because of the actions of the Rishon, the Machriya, they tip the scale, the Kafchova, towards guilt, and therefore the world is going to be destroyed, God forbid, because of their actions. And on the other hand, when it comes to tzaddikim, though, they get schar because they help sustain the world that was created with 10 statements. What does it mean? Just because it's 10 statements, and therefore that makes it so much more severe. So the Baruch Hu says, "Ve'eno doma ma'abed malacha she'nasis b'yom echad." You can't compare destroying a malacha that was done that took one day to do l'malacha she'nasis b'hayom and that took many days. So here we're not only referring to days; we're talking about statements. And the statements are really referring to the different statements we have on the different days of creation. And therefore, obviously, we look at it that the world is destroying a malacha that was created, all of the labor that was done. And that which we see with the fruits of the labor, what was produced through Hashem's labor in words. So that's more severe when it's 10 statements versus one.